The boys were called edgy. Told they'd never make it past 5 episodes. Here those podcast jerks are. Back for season 2. The Boys in the Woods podcast. The show your mother warned you about. And that your dad is hiding in the basement listening to. Get ready for the Boys in the Woods podcast.
Welcome back, Charles. Another weekend of fun, entertainment, and enjoyable sports. We got to witness a few sport things happen this weekend. Yeah. I didn't watch the golf one. Did you get to watch any of the golf event?
I watched a little bit of golf in both worlds, LIV and PGA. Congratulations, Scottie Scheffler.
Yep, on that Sheffies.
Win. I can't. I wish I had Liv up in front of me.
I actually didn't catch the end of it. I watched about 5 holes.
My problem with the Liv was that the channel they're on apparently doesn't have HD capabilities yet.
So we're watching in like the pre-2010s.
So it's blurry. It's blurry as shit on my screen. I don't understand what was going on with that. And I get it. Comet television. So I'm sure with this money, I promise you, if we pulled up all the things on the internet about it, that they're upgrading their infrastructure. And but I like the presentation from LIV over the PGA. I love that ball tracker. I like the team. I like that. I was just telling the father-in-law, which I got a couple of ridiculous stories, but I was just telling the father-in-law, you could have barely made the weekend cut. And on the last day, you bogeyed or parred 17 out of 18 holes. But then you birdie that last hole, and that adds one extra point to your team score. And that one extra point, then your team won, right? So it's not just about the money as much as it is. It makes you playing good all day matter. And you don't have to be in contention to be playing contention golf. I enjoy the stats on the screen. I enjoy the putt thing. I like all that. I could do without the random bouts of loud music. Just even it out somehow or another.
It sounds every now and then they're at a concert. You get a...
I like the music.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but it's on hole 8. You're like, God damn, tick, 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 tick. And then on hole 18, you're like,
You're like, this isn't the Phoenix Open.
Do I know that song?
What the hell is that?
Okay, come on, cameraman, take me a little closer now.
I like that they muffle it out just enough because they don't want the copyright infringement. They're like, what's that?
But some holes, you ain't got no choice. And on like the other thing, too, it's all they're in shorts, yada, yada. What? Who fucking cares if they're in shorts or pants?
Why do we care now that what they're wearing?
Shorts or pants, man.
Right.
So I do. I like the presentation there. I think the golfers are better in LIV than they are in the PGA right now. I do the opportunity you're getting for the PGA. In the last handful of weeks, you had a guy who I believe he was a bouncer at a grocery store or a bouncer at some scenario. And then like later, a few weeks later, he wins a PGA Tour event. So that's cool. And you do have good and at times great golfers left in the PGA. And it's cool, like I said, to see the young kids and yada, yada, yada. But man, I watched Cameron Hayward. I might be mixing football and whatnot. But anyways, Cameron, I watched him hit a recovery shot, dude. And it was like, it was such a crazy shot that I watched it 3 times. He more or less hit a fucking tin cup. He just tin cupped the sumbitch, but hooked it
ding,
like it was a crescent moon. And about the 3rd time I'm watching, I realize that the tracker technology doesn't stop at the tree like it does everywhere else. I actually saw through the trees the yellow line. That son of a bitch hit the green and everything. And I'm like, that had to have been one of the greatest goddamn golf shots I've seen this year or in recent memory, right? I haven't played a lot of golf in recent memory, so
I guess I like the names. They have their own logo and their names for their teams. Yeah. So the Crushers, Torque, Ripper, Majestics.
And honestly, watching Phil Mickelson, that old ass out there, just killing it, man. He's doing well. I think it's the shorts. You got him out of the pants, and he's still playing really good golf. So, what's your favorite team name right there?
I like the Range Goats. It's was it Watson, Uheim, Wolf, and Peters? Mickelson's got Mickelson's is the High Flyers.
The High Flyers, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, there's a pun in there involving his gambling.
The High Flyers?
So the logo is like a pair of aviators, more or less.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I do. And it is. It's fun. It's entertaining. It makes, you do throw in the whole Saudi sports washing saga. And I get it.
There's money. Yeah. There's money backing it. So you have kind of to roll your.
I've got a very close connection to good reasons to HATE everything about it. We're inside a time specific moment. So I wanted to keep it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't, hopefully in the earlier moments, I hadn't done anything crazy, but anywho. But the world today is always so angry about everything. It doesn't matter where you go. Somebody tries to turn something into something to be angry about. So I'm as angry as I get, one of the leaders of what rotates our gears in the opposite direction, right? But minivans again, dude.
Yeah,
I could talk about minivans every effing week, dude. Every week I could talk about minivans, bro. But anywho, like I said, just trying to. It's actually a conversation about soccer today. The Premier League, Liverpool, Manchester, they had a match today, ended 1-1. Honestly, the best part of the. I'm trying soccer. I'm trying so hard.
Soccer is hard.
I'm trying so hard, dude.
I enjoy the highlights.
I do.
But the soccer itself, I'm having a difficult time. I guess it's the substitution thing gets me. The cards are slowing the game down, and I understand it's part of the game. These teams have strategies sometimes coming in. Sometimes they want a yellow card just to slow the game down and give a guy a breather. And I'm like, okay, I guess it's the same as a foul in the NBA. Okay, yeah. We're just trying to give this guy 20 minutes to catch his breath. You know.
Now, don't get me wrong either. I'm not saying that the NBA is better or we might not be saying that.
We just aren't accustomed to the way the game flows.
No, and when you've got the intensity of the NFL and the UFC and hockey, and it's
Americans are used to in-your-face action right now. You know.
And I think I was talking with my cousin about it, and he made a really valid point. The rest of the world doesn't get the opportunity to see the level of intensity we see at the variety we see it in. The fandom for these soccer matches is crazy. The Liverpool, the crowd was nuts. And Liverpool is damn lucky that Manchester City has a terrible second half performance regardless of who they're playing. If it was 45 minutes of football.
I've been staying away from him on my So Rare account just lately.
My NBA So Rare account is actually doing really good. I think I've got 2 wins now.
Your NBA one?
Yeah, I played 2. I'm in 2 wins. I'm still learning. I'm still trying to figure it out because there's this limit thing. There's this ticker. And I'm not sure if once that's gone, everything's gone?
No. I think that is the games play. You can challenge. I think that's your challenges. Yeah. And you only get so many of them every 24 hours or something like that. I don't know. Something. Yeah. I'm trying to figure it out too. The soccer is the one that I'm actually doing. I'm doing better in soccer than I'm doing it.
Really?
I got poop players. I got poop players for the NBA.
I got no, dude. Bro, for winning, I ended up with a 5-game Luka.
You got a Luka?
I got a 5-game Luka. And in my starter pack, bro, I got Anthony Edwards.
That's
shut up.
See, that's fair, dude.
You know, and I got D'Lo, bro. I got Anthony Edwards, D'Lo.
See, that's why you're 2-0.
Yeah, and I've got Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
So then I end up throwing in Kevin Love because he's super cheap. And every 4 or 5 games, he does something okay. So yeah, I got pretty lucky on the. I got way luckier on the NBA than I did on the soccer. But my
I got a Curry, and I didn't play him for 3 games. Now he's gone. So now I'm like, I got no Curry. If you train them though, you get 2 extra games.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you put them on the bench. Right, reserve role. Okay.
And so we're talking about SoRare.com. I believe there's links. We've got links everywhere. Go check it out. Yeah. Start a team. Everything I've done so far is free.
And it's fun.
So it's fun. It's fun. It's free. Go check it out. If you end up spending money, you're welcome. You found a new hobby. All right. SoRare.com. I'd spell it out, but I don't want to spell it wrong. It's unique.
SoRare.com.
It's not as unique as I thought. It's fantastic.
No, it's not. Cool. So he's doing a promo for us, and he's
so rare.
Is it so rare? Or is it so rare? I'm like, so rare sounds great to me.
Coca-Cola. You want a cherry Coca-Cola?
I told him the gold, so rare.
I don't want no cherry Coca-Cola, motherfucker. So anywho, yeah, college, or god damn it, or okay, that's better. Soccer, I love you, I'm trying, okay, so I get it. I told my cousin, I said, for the longest time, I did not like soccer. And so I asked myself, why don't I like soccer? Blah, 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 blah. Came with all these reasons. So I said, you know what? If I'm going to watch soccer, I can't watch it thinking I hate it. I got to find out why hundreds of millions and millions of people worldwide love the shit out of this. I need to find out how. So I'm trying. But when you have a match like Liverpool and Man City, and I'm watching what I'm watching, and the opportunities are there, and it ends 1-1, and you're like,
you feel like you're shafted in some way.
I totally understand how women feel who F on the first date and aren't satisfied with their individual they chose. Yeah, yeah. I get it. I get it 100%. I guess that would be the best way to describe that scenario. I mean, I looked at my wife and everything, and I was like, Liverpool and Man City are on. I'm not doing fucking nothing until afterwards. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, man, could have went to Sam's Club, maybe. I liked it.
It reminds me. We just watched Old School. It reminds me of the college guys going up to Frank the Tank, and they're like, he's like, "What? I can't. I promised a wife I wouldn't drink." And they're like, "Why?" He's like, "Saturday, we got a lot of stuff going on. It's gonna be a busy day for us. What are you gonna do?" I don't know. Maybe go to Bed Bath and Beyond. Maybe go to Home Depot.
I've just found out Barnes and Noble has sports cards. I could have.
Walgreens does too. Yeah, Walgreens has sports cards now. When did Barnes and Noble get?
It came across on a Tiki Talkie there.
Mandy likes books.
Rachel loves Barnes and Noble. The moment I told her, she reminds me about it more often. She goes, "We go to Barnes and Noble. I can go to Barnes & Noble whenever I want." She's just telling her friends, "I can go to Barnes & Noble whenever I want."
Charles, now you can get yourself.
The husband has sports cards there.
You can get a gift card now. For someone gives you a gift card, you can be like, "Hey, just give me Barnes & Noble gift card."
And you're like, "Yeah, you want to give me a gift card? Just fuck Barnes & Noble."
I like to read. It's a pack of sports cards.
Make sure it's at least $25. Barnes & Noble.
Come on, packs. Come on, hobby packs.
Hashtag Barnes & Noble. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hashtag Barnes & Noble.
So, F1 Red Bull strikes again. That's my notes. Max Verstappen.
You did post about this.
Yeah.
I did read it, and I was like, I want to see what's going to happen here.
Yeah. The most interesting part of the race was the crash. Stall ended up bumping the wall, fucked his tire up, threw him off into another wall. So there was a restart. Out of the restart, Norris and Hamilton did not pit. And Verstappen and Perez pitted along with everyone else, right? But they started with the medium tires, And because of this early pit, it was pre-lap 12, right? So it was an early pit. So they came out with the hard tires. Sorry about that. I was angry because it did, we're talking these, the two were in the middle of the pack. They did not pit, and they ended up going into the front of the pack.
And that race was in Saudi Arabia, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
So coming out now, Verstappen was in the lead, and it was growing. It was looking like it was going to be another replay. Honestly, the race stayed interesting for about 30 laps because of that restart, 100%. Because after 30 laps, it became Verstappen, Perez, and...
Yeah, it was a 1-2. I mean, it was a 1-2.
1-2-3, Ferrari once again.
Yeah.
So what became interesting, though, too, was out of that pit, Perez ended up with a 5-second unsafe pit penalty.
Yeah.
And so the whole race was him racing in second place with basically clean air because Verstappen was so far in front. Once you get in that area.
Do you know how many wins he has in his career?
Verstappen?
Yeah. Six.
56.
That's
but he has it's from last year. We're just doing last year. It could go even further. But from last year and the next two races this year, if Verstappen is number one in the poll, he's number one at the end on the podium. He has yet to lose coming out of that position. And I got to tell you, dude, the skill of this dude, he made his car coming off the fucking start the entire, that first turn, he made his car the whole lane wide on that turn. And it was so, I'm telling you, I referred to, and the wife had to tell me the name, Jean Girard from Ricky Bobby, bro. It was like watching
Let's give the rookie, though, a little bit of props. He did finish seventh.
He finished seventh. He fan voted him in as driver of the day. It was fantastic. I think his tire choice in the beginning hurt him
could
in positioning.
Could have something to do
with it. Yeah, yeah. He ended up going, but the early pit canceled that out. And I think as a fresh eye, I love that you brought him up. As fresh eyes, I think you did fucking great.
Got 6 points. He got six points for his team. They were saying that they wasn't entirely sure that even if Leclerc or whatever would have been able to race, that he would have done much better than Behrman.
I mean,
which is a pretty good something to say.
Yeah.
I mean,
because I haven't been paying attention that long.
Yeah.
I know that the course, two things that were brought up to me, it was the first street course of the year. So there was a...
There's a lot of turns on that course. Holy crap.
And especially as a street course. Was an accident expected? And street courses tear the shit out of tires.
Well,
at the end of it, bro, at the end of it, it looked like an NBA football field out there.
Damn.
I'm telling you, the road looked like an NBA football field. You just had to throw a little bit of grass in there. You just had to throw a little bit of grass. There were so many fucking pellets on the ground. It was fun.
Damn.
But it was fun. It was exciting. It was a good race for the most part. And I reiterate my statement from one of the former episodes where I said F1's got a Verstappen problem because when you've got the commentators more excited about the fifth and sixth position battle race on the track,
almost to be expected that they expected him to win. Not only did he win, he dominated it,
and he's been dominating it. The way he took over first place again from second place and then had three consecutive fastest laps. He had a fast lap, took over first place.
He took over the fastest lap, went faster. And then he said, you know what? I think I can shave a half a second off of that one, too. Let's just
go for another one.
His
teammate ended up with the fastest lap there, though. Perez, congratulations. Yeah. So it's really good. Red Bull's killing it. And they sponsor. They have another team on the list. It was blowing my mind.
Red Bull. They need to make their own breading. Let's just make it the Verstappen Perez shake and bake.
I know it, dude. I'd buy a box of that shit and put it right up there. Yeah. We would.
It's like Verstappen's shake and bake.
So I'm not saying this to be controversial. I'm saying this as my opinion. F1 is better than NASCAR right now.
Oh yeah. It's more entertaining.
I get it. I'm starting to understand it more. I'm watching NASCAR the same amount I'm watching F1, and I'm not bringing up NASCAR as much because I'm confused as shit with what's going on. It would have been way easier to keep it with just left turns. Or, I don't know. I don't talk about it enough because I've got nothing to bring to the table on it right now. I know it's exciting. I know it's fun. I can't wait to talk to Brennan about it, to hear the firsthand experience. I've always heard you need to go to a race. And the places I've been told my life you need to go to have been places like Lambeau Field and Ford Museum.
I think any NASCAR place would probably be, any NASCAR event probably would be pretty fun.
We've got the ferry. The Michigan 400 is just across the pond.
Yeah,
we could link up with FOSB, friend of the show, Brent Becker.
Yeah.
And maybe we can see what's going on with that. I was recently asked, actually I was told, I need to get him the hell on a vacation. So we'll be looking forward to that.
All right, yeah, there you go.
We'll be looking forward to that for shiz my niz. Let's break into the UFC. Takeaways from the UFC real quick. Congratulations, Sean O'Malley. I was worried for him. He got to pick the location of the fight, and him picking Miami was weird to me, especially considering the fighter being the fighter. I believe he was Venezuelan, so he was going to have a massive following. And
can we talk about the hair?
Yeah.
he come out with look like a clown wig.
Dude, when people were like, oh, the Florida Joker, I'm like, Sean O'Malley? Yeah. What are you talking about? Turns out Florida Joker is a completely different person. Had no idea.
You know what his nickname is? Sugar.
Sugar?
Sugar.
Yeah. See, I wish, like, what happened to Pimblett there? What's up with him? Yeah. And what happened to that meatball? Wasn't it a meatball? Who was Pimby's friend there? The Portnoy there backed the hell out of him for a minute there.
Oh, then, yeah. I can't remember his name.
Her. But what happened to all that? I'll dig into that later. Who knows?
I don't know. There's a lot of drama when it comes to the UFC and some of these people. Can we talk about... All right. Let's talk about the one fight. So the Peter Yan fight. He fought the guy. Can you say this guy's name without giggling? Song Yadong. Song Yadong.
Is it Song Yadong? Song Yadong?
It's S-O-N-G. Space. Y-A-D-O-N-G. Song Yadong. Song Yadong. I don't know. I feel like I'm offending people by saying
probably
this.
We should stop doing this. Yeah.
But I don't know.
We didn't mean to. This was, watch The Simpsons for 20 years. You'll be fine.
Oh, it's Song Yadong.
Song Yadong.
Yeah, they pronounced it for me. Anyway, he got defeated. Kevin Holland, Michael Page.
I think the
Poirier won.
Yeah.
Now
there's I wanted to say there was a small scuttlebutt about him possibly retiring soon.
Poirier, yeah, he's 38-0 and won no decision.
Yeah. That's the thing about the UFC world. It's almost like blinks of an eye. You got to enjoy them while they're there. You really do.
So we're all waiting for UFC 300, man. 300. It's going to be the moneymaker, the sugar daddy of them all.
You got the fight card up?
I got the fight card from $299, yeah.
No, for 300.
Oh, for 300.
Ngannou.
300 card.
There's Anthony Joshua.
We got Pereira, Jamal Hill, Zhang Weili, Yan Man, Justin Gaeth, Max Holloway, Charles Oliveira, Armin Tsarukyan. Yuri Brookchar. I can't say these names. I don't even know half of these people.
Listen, I'm only laughing because I struggle, all right? And I laugh at myself.
All right. Yeah. Howie is playing the bantamweight one, though, here. We got going against Kayla Harrison. Sadiq Yusuf, Diego Lopez, Jessica Andrade, Marina Rodriguez, Bobby Green, and Jim Miller. It's a crapshoot card. I would thought there'd be bigger names on it. I thought this would
I'm going to tell you, I thought 299 from the outside looking in, because I haven't followed the UFC much. I'm picking it back up now, but I haven't followed it much since the military.
But yeah.
The names I'm more familiar with were 299. Now, there were four or five names I knew or know on 300. It's got potential.
Yeah, I think what it is somebody can become a superstar if they somehow take the belt away. I think there's three belt fights, so that's pretty good here.
We'll dig into those. I like that. We'll dig into those storylines and we'll bring it up next week.
Yeah, as it gets closer, it's in April, so it's April 13th. Oh, yeah, so we got a minute. Okay. Going to get into some NFL draft stuff probably before then, but.
Whoa, yes, way before then.
It's a month away.
Okay, a couple of screenshots here real quick. Mm-hmm. Weston McKennie over there for Juventus is doing wonderful things. He's been hot.
Yeah, I had him. I picked him in Sorare not too long ago.
Absolutely. Let's see, and Christian Pulisic, I believe he's got 17 goals or assists for AC Milan so far this season. So he's doing really well also. So these are all U.S. men's national team players, so they're really nice to keep an eye on. Actually, our U.S. men's national team players playing in Europe
have been doing very well.
We're not talking great, but they have been doing very well. The Bucks get a big win to get out of that lose. I like this. I like where they are right now out of the All-Star. They're 7-2. They're 7-2 out of the All-Star break. There's some questionable shit. The Golden
that
State
that performance against Golden State was pretty awful.
See, Golden State to me was a storm, right? Golden State just got smacked by Boston. They were angry. They were at home. Milwaukee was on a 6-game win streak. Coming off of a back-to-back day of travel, playing a late game. And if I want to make excuses for him, I could. I don't understand the Lakers game. That game, and people want to talk that the Lakers, yada, 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 whatever. Timberwolves, the fucking Denver Nuggets right now. We're not talking about those teams, which we handled during our win streak. We're talking about the Lakers. So
outside of the Boston in the East, I think New York might be the second best team.
I still have Milwaukee. I still have Milwaukee as, honestly, 1B. I think their playoff, if they get the second seed, it's
the 1B. Crappy thing is they're half a game behind Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Cleveland's playing good. The thing is that it's like the Cleveland, without their best player, they're still beating some really good teams.
Yeah.
They came back from 20 the night after the Celtics smashed Golden State. And this is the NBA, right? This is the thing. This is the regular season. This is the same thing I stress in the
Cleveland
NFL.
Cleveland's the second best. Cleveland's got the second best defense.
Yeah.
Defensive rating in the NBA. Who's number one? The Timberwolves.
Yeah. Absolutely. Defense is doing real well. And I bet in that five category, the Denver Nuggets. But anywho, where were we at there? Oh, yeah. So the Bucks, right? Yeah. Because the regular season, they're still trying to figure it out, man. This is their first season together as superstars who both handled a majority of the ball, and now they're trying to eat out of the same pie. We got to give them the regular season. I'm okay with that. I do get befuddled when the defense does some questionable things, and we're not seeing progression, like letting D'Lo go off for 40. That's crazy to me. Did it help my Sorare team? Hell yeah. Did I need it to help my Sorare team? Not really. I'm glad it did. But come on. But they came back. There's some really nice stats here that I did want to point out real quick. Against the Lakers, Giannis and Damian became the first duo this season to both have 25 points plus and 10 plus assists. Against the Clippers, they became the first duo to have back-to-back games with 20-plus points and 10-plus assists this season. They combined for 69 points today against the Clippers. So when they're playing together, when they're playing hot, they're playing really good. Their defense at times is questionable. Coming out of the All-Star break, where they had an opportunity to figure a few things out, talk to each other, and move forward, they're 7-2.
There's a problem coming up, though. They have the hardest end of season schedule of any team in the NBA.
And
they only play one team that's not a playoff team.
Whoo, that's going to be tough. But I think that's going to be great for them.
It's going to definitely test them.
When it comes down to a seeding race for two or three, I think that's going to drive a stake up my ass.
Yeah. Here's their schedule throughout: the Kings, Sixers, Suns, Celtics, Nets, Thunder, Lakers, Pelicans, Hawks, Wizards. I think there's three in there. Wizards, Grizzlies, Raptors, Knicks, Celtics, Magic, Thunder, Magic. So, there's three teams in there. They play them a couple times, but there's three teams in there that aren't playoff teams. But the rest of them are all playoff teams.
Yeah. You got, the Magic.
They're on the edge, though. They're not. I think they're on the
outside. But regardless.
Yeah, it's
three,
tough.
Four,
it's tough
doesn't
either
matter.
Way.
It's tough. Yeah, 100%. I agree. I like that. I do. I like where they are. I like that they're progressing, right? 7-2 out of the All-Star break is fantastic. With a 6-game win streak, stopping a losing streak from occurring. You can lose back-to-back games. That's not a losing streak. You lose 3 games, that's a losing streak. And the last time Milwaukee was on the West Coast, we ended on the West Coast going into the All-Star break, and we were getting our fucking ass ragged. To steer it back, I'm excited. We'll see what this week is. We're still on the West Coast, I believe.
Can we talk about college basketball for one second?
Of course, yeah. Of course.
Can we bring the Michigan State
Michigan
game
State
back
game
up?
In? Yeah, absolutely. Should
Michigan State, if they go 0-1
they're projected
in the Big Ten tournament,
a 9 seed.
If they go 0-1 in the Big Ten tournament and lose to 8
Shout
or
out
9
Iowa, Caitlin Clark. Congratulations on winning the women's Big Ten tournament. But
oh, they did win today?
Yeah, they did win today. Big.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they just pummeled Michigan. That's the only game that I watched.
Yeah.
I watched Michigan come back from 17 down in the third to beat Indiana. And then they had an 8-point lead versus Iowa. And by the time I watched it, they went on a 25-5 run.
It was 94 to like 60 something.
Yeah, 68 or something like that. That's just bad. They're good. They're just that good, man.
They're good.
I hope they
win
the championship this year. I don't think they will, but I hope they do.
I hope so. I apparently because a bunch of people in the media think that Dan Marino is trash.
Where did this come about?
I'm just saying, if you don't have a championship ring, you're trash.
Oh yeah. Did you see the Pat McAfee, Stephen A. Smith got into it?
Oh, I can't wait.
I posted it in our chat. So apparently Pat McAfee had called in to Stephen A. Smith's show, or he was talking to him on the phone. This is 3 days ago. I think it was Saturday or Friday or something. Anyway, he called into his show or talked to him on the phone, and he called him an MF-er. Mm-hmm. So they got into it. Pat McAfee does, of all the things, he doesn't back down at all. That's what I love about the guy.
I'm telling you, I love – I was upset, maybe because I was a sissy fan for some reason, right? I think blah, 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 ESPN, but damn.
So
he couldn't be a better guy at ESPN right now.
He's banned even at Smith's show. That's the best part about it. He's not allowed on the show. Do you think Pat Mack
that's
gives
like
a
the
shit
GM
if he's
for the
allowed
Pistons
on his show?
It's like the GM for the Pistons, Troy Weaver, there kicking out a fan because the fan told him you suck at your job.
Yeah.
The bitch.
Do you think that guy gives a shit if he's not allowed on Stephen A. Smith's show? Come on now.
Pat McAfee, the dude who was giving away 6 figures for field goal attempts, cares that he's on the fucking Pat McAfee.
Right. I can't be on Stephen A. Smith's show. We're going to fuck yourself.
Well, that's because Stephen A. probably couldn't hit a shot in the Thunderdome to save his life.
I hope that Pat McAfee challenges him to a punt off or something crazy.
Just anything.
Anything sports
related.
Layup contest.
Because
Pat McAfee might be
the
an
over
NFL
under for
punter.
The miss on Stephen A. Smith layups is 5. I think he misses. I would go on the under. He misses a layup inside 5.
I bet you with Pat's buddies on his show, if you got him in a 3-point competition or a free throw shooting thing, they would train his ass, and I bet you he would be able to make a
huge charity event. Pat would put all the money.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He would keep money for his daughter, and the rest of it that was his personally. Obviously,
there you go, Pat. We are telling you right now to challenge Stephen A. to a charity event. All the proceeds go to charity. You'll win it, baby. You're number one.
Yeah. I'll cross state lines to legally ensure that security. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Charles and I'd be bouncers for it. There you go. We'll be bouncers for this event.
Oh, man. That'd be too funny. Quick segue into spring baseball. Hey, I love the fans,
more I'm
man.
Watching it, Charles, the more I think Chirios is going to start for the Brewers. The more I watch, the more I think.
Because what is spring baseball all about? Finding what you have waiting in the tank. Yeah. You know what you had last year. And this is spring training to them. So they're out there tweaking the things they're trying to get better at. They're in practicing all day at the things they're great at. That's why they're making a hell of a lot of money being MLB players. So when you get these games and you're seeing, like, we lose 3-1, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I think the pitchers had a really good day that day. You're only giving up 3 runs. You're not giving up 9, okay? Because there's days you're winning 9-7. That's not a good game.
Well, Rob even said it. Rob told us, he goes, when I was in the minors, he goes, a lot of times if I was thinking I might get called up, the scouts said I need to work on my curveball, or I need to work on my slider, or my 12-6. They tell them what you need to work on, and that's what they work on in spring training.
Absolutely. So if you're, that's the same thing. If you're trying to feel that slider out, I want you to give up home runs on your slider now. So you're not giving up home runs in October.
Find that location now because they don't matter. They will matter, like you said, in October.
Absolutely.
It's a big difference.
July. You talk to me after July. If we're having these issues in the end of July or the middle of July.
They usually get pitchers the entire month of April to figure it out.
We got a problem. Baseball's hard, but you got to give people time off. I get it. Kicking a football and throwing a fucking fastball is two different things.
Right.
Y'all in those comment sections need to just calm the shit down. You don't understand spring baseball.
I'm not that worried about the baseball comment section. Those guys seem like a bunch of pussies anyway. So it's okay. It's okay. You guys can have your opinions.
The Tigers are doing really well.
The Tigers are playing very well.
The players positionally that are supposed to be doing well outside of Javier Baez, doing great.
I think the Miguel Cabrera monkey off the back thing probably helps a lot. They're not having to think about, we got to get this guy playing time. He's got to get his hits in. They don't have to worry about the circus that is his celebration tour.
When you give a guy a $1 billion 30-year contract,
years
27 through 30 aren't going to be really good.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Pat. I do, 100%. I think we're going to see I think they need to get rid of Baez. It's time. Eat that contract also. It did what it needed to do when it was established. It brought more fans to the stadium. It did. It brought people. It made people buy jerseys. Well done.
Oh, Charles.
Stop hitting a dead horse with a fucking metal bat.
The Tigers declined his option. That's why he did retire. They bought him out for $8 million. So he is off the books for the Tigers.
Yeah, he's done. No, that's it.
Oh,
that's...
I thought he was still on the books.
No.
For another couple of years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, bro.
Good. Then they got money now. They got some cash.
They still got Verlander and Baez, but they're getting there. I think the Tigers.
Baez still plays there at least.
Does he? Holy shit. My bad.
Yeah.
So he swings a bat and throws the ball every once in a while.
He plays occasionally.
He's like that. He's like that eighth that person making $10 million playing 8 minutes a game in the NBA. I agree. Okay. One final thing here. Boop boo. We're gonna pull this up. We're gonna watch this together. You ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. This is the Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou. Here's the first pippity pap.
Couple of
minutes.
had to turn that down real quick. Yeah, so
he got dazed. He took one. Took one right to the chin there.
Absolutely. This is round two of 10. 39 seconds left and counting. Here we go. Eat shit.
Look at all the sheiks in there. Just, it's like now they all stand up and they're like, oh boy, check it out, dude.
I've got so much to say about that.
That's such a heavy hand, but that shouldn't have happened like that. The second round, that dude.
29 seconds left?
Yeah. So he didn't even go two full rounds.
No.
And that probably was projected to be at least five.
What the hell?
Yeah.
What the hell? So now when we go through the comment sections.
Yeah. Are they saying he took a fall?
With fixed.
They're saying he took a fall then.
It's fixed. It's fixed. Boy got knocked out. The very first video I seen, so I dug into this. The very first video.
He didn't look like he was even making an attempt at throwing a punch.
No, he wasn't blocking or nothing. I think arguably what happened is that first hit, because when I first saw it, we're about to do
the loose. You think that first hit rocked him?
Because when I first saw it, I didn't see the first hit. I only saw the second hit. And I saw him fold. And I was like, what? In the second round, that's fucked up. And I read the comments. It's so fixed. And I'm like, let me go see. So I watched, and I'm like, I think that first hit, the one we just showed, I think it caught him by surprise. He walked forward, and that's what you do in the UFC. You close the gap, but you don't close that gap. You keep the gap close.
I don't think boxing. He was being very defensive either. He didn't have he wasn't blocking that side.
I think his unskilled boxing enabled this to occur. And yeah, 100%. And I don't think he was there. I promise you, he won't tell you because of his career.
Sure.
But behind closed doors, I think he got knocked out on that first punch. The dude's just an animal. And the second punch reminded him that he was sleeping.
He went out cold too, so the first punch had something to do with it, for sure, guaranteed.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because we've seen that boy, or that dog. We can't say that boy.
That's a hell of a thing to take a punch like that.
Monster.
To take a punch like that. Takes some brain damage to take a fall. Yeah. I'm pretty sure if he was going to take a fall, he would have took a lot of body shots before that.
All right, now we'll jump into... Dude, I've loved this. I was super sketchy at first with our list.
Yeah.
I was super sketchy at first. Because I was like, man, punters and kickers, I don't fucking know any of these guys. Head coaches.
The kickers I had more fun with than the punters.
I had a lot of fun with both.
The punters threw me for a loop.
So we'll start with the punters here. We'll start with the punters. Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? Yeah, we'll start with the punters. If you want to shoot your list off first, go ahead and go. We'll do that.
All right, here. I didn't put teams next to these because I was too busy just typing them out. But I've got number 10, I got Lou Headley. Number 9, Jake Bailey. 8, Jordan Stout. 7, I didn't move this around. Anyway, I have 2 tied at 7 was Jake Bailey and Jordan Stout. Corey Borquez at 6, AJ Cole 5, JK Scott 4, Behringer, and Thomas Morstead number 1. For some reason, I have 2 players in here doubled. I must have messed something up.
I like that list. And it's comfortable. And the thing is, Thomas Morstead is going to be
a Hall number of Famer. 1.
He should be number 1 on a lot of people's lists when you punt 99 fucking times in one season.
I liked his amount of kicks that he had inside the 20 is my stat.
I liked that. I did. Where do I have it here? He's got 6 out of 99.
Yeah. I took average. How I did mine is I did average length, punting average inside the 20, and then I did amount of kicks. It's not their fault.
No, I love that. I love that because that's where I was. I like the list. I've got no problem with it. Let's jump into my list and then we'll talk about, of course, coming in at number 15, I have Cameron Johnston. Houston. Yeah, I've got Cameron Johnston, Houston. Number 14, Mitch Wishnowsky, San Francisco. 13, Jordan Stout, Baltimore. 12, Rigoberto Sanchez, Indiana.
Rigoberto.
Yeah. 11, Ryan Wright, Minnesota. 10, Thomas Morstead, New York Jets. And I'll get into that. We'll do a little bit of back and forth on that, my reasoning for that. Number 9, Ethan Evans, LA Rams. Number 8, Corey Borquez, Cleveland. Number 7, Brandon Mann, Philadelphia. Number 6, Michael Dickinson, Seattle. Now, top 5, here we go. Jake Camadora. I probably have said that way wrong. Tampa Bay. Number 4, AJ Cole, Las Vegas. Number 3, Blake Gillikin, Arizona. Number 2, Brian Anger, Dallas. Number 1, Ryan Stonehouse, Tennessee. Now I did something similar with your list, but I went a little bit easier with it. I went just straight average distance of punt.
Yeah, but average distance is, it could have been like, it could have rolled.
It's better. I don't disagree.
Is that more on the team's coverage though? Does that just have a better special teams?
That's where it started. Because I wanted to, like, oh man. One significant thing about, I think, my top 10, 2, 4, 6, 8, or 8 out of the top 10, is that they didn't give up a touchdown. Now, and then I started asking myself, is that their fault? Or is that special teams' fault? Or is that the coverage of the special teams? Did the punter... So I started to go... And I'm like, you know what? If you had 50 or more punts and you had a high average, I said, that's what I'm looking for. Because even if the punt rolled, right, you're giving your special teams the opportunity to create their coverage wall, right? You're giving your team the best. And it does appear that the top 8 highest averages did achieve this. They have some of the lowest return yards, and they do have 0 returned touchdowns. I did look at inside the 20, and the reason I put Morstead below, and I do feel bad about it because I believe that's more on the team than it is this individual, right?
Oh, for sure.
But when you have 99 punts and only 36 of them go into the 20-yard line, that I had a problem with that. Now, maybe if you only had 60 punts, you still would have had 20 to 30 of them, and yeah, I've got you number 1, number 2, number 3 on the list. But because you had to punt 99 times, I'm not thinking about what could have been if you don't have to punt 99 times. Now, I love his positioning for next year, especially if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy. I love that. I really do. But for me, it was some of the really most interesting things. Dude, fucking Morstead almost hit 5,000 punt yards, bro.
Oh, yeah.
He had 4,800. Something I got it here. 4,831.
He had crazy a 62, stat.
He had a 62-yard long. That's another reason why I had him in the top 8 and the top 10. Those longs, he's got one of the lowest longs. He doesn't have that power leg. So for him, positioning matters, and it did come out in the 99 punts to the 36-20, because on the opposite foot, you've got 77 punts from Jake Camarda. For Tampa Bay, he's averaging 50 yards, 74-yard long. He's got 26 inside the 20. That did, though, allow for a little bit more on the return yards, but now are we arguing special teams? Yada. But I do. I like the list. This was the interesting thing about this. How many punters did you know before walking into this?
None. Not really.
Maybe one. And most of them I knew by dumbass.
Right?
I don't mean that to be rude. You just, performance generally, dumbass.
the kicker one I had more fun with, though, because I was like, there's a lot of guys I like their name, but they were like, there's so many guys that were tied stat-wise together that I was just like, oh, man, I really like this dude's name more.
So I kept it easy with this. We'll roll right into the kickers. I kept it easy again for the kickers. I don't know if I put the deserved effort into it, but I put in an enjoyable amount of effort into it. Starting off, coming in at number 15, congratulations, Nick Folk. Your old ass still made a list. Tennessee. 14, Blake Groupe, New Orleans. And side note, the cool names thing is why I originally put 15 people on the list. I just wanted to get some of these cool names out there.
Yeah.
Brandon McManus, Jacksonville, coming in at 13. Will Lutz, number 12, coming in for Denver. Number 11, Jake Elliott, Philadelphia. 10, Cameron Dicker, kicker right in the dicker. Cameron Dicker, L.A. Chargers. Coming in at number 9, Young Hoko, Atlanta. Coming in at number 8, Justin Tucker, Baltimore.
Yeah, he didn't have a very good season.
He didn't have a very good season. He had a great season in the age of the kickers, but we watched this with Mason Crosby. I would not be surprised if we saw Baltimore pick up some special teams players here in the later rounds in the draft coming up. Coming in at number 7, Matt Gay, Indiana. Coming in at number 6, Dustin Hopkins, Cleveland. Coming in at number 5, who could arguably be higher, Harrison Butker, Kansas City. Coming in at number 4, Jason Myers, Seattle. Coming in at number 3, Kerryo Santos, Kerryo, from Chicago. Coming in at number 2, Craig Zuerlein, New York Jets. When you're kicking that many field goals, you're going to find yourself high on the list. Well done, Craig Zuerlein. And coming in at number 1, Brandon Aubrey, Dallas. Small note, the one thing I did for this list, and because it worked itself out, was I punts attempted versus punts made. I don't care about anything else. I wanted to, the person with that best punts attempted, punts made scenario. And the reason Justin Tucker is 8 on this list, I think, has a lot to do with him being 1 in 5 on 50-yarders.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to hear your list. What do you think about that?
I like your list because you're going to find out why. Number 10, Young Ho Koo, Atlanta. Number 9, Dustin Hopkins. Number 8, Matt Gay. 7, Jake Elliott. 6, Cameron Dicker. 5, Kaim Fairbairn. Number 4, Jason Myers. Number 3, Harrison Butker. Kerryo Santos from Chicago. And number 1 is Brandon Aubrey, like you have as well.
Yeah,
so we both think Harrison Butker could be higher, could be lower. But he didn't have that great of a season either.
No.
Fifth in the league. Here's the crazy stat for Aubrey. His misses were from 30 to 39 yards out. All of his misses.
They had to have been shanks. I'm not sure what was up with that. I did really Butker's 38 for 38 on pad attempts. Something I do want to point out to the fans, though, is that Jake Moody, 60 for 61. Right? So San Francisco needs to just blow some gas. He had one miss inside 30 for 39.
He only missed 4 field goals, but he only attempted 25.
Yeah, absolutely. He had one miss inside 30 for 39, 2 misses 40 for 49, and what's this? 2 misses for 50 plus. And he had a long of... No, he didn't have 2 misses from 50 plus. I'm sorry. He had 1 miss from 50 plus with a long of 57 with 123 points, which puts you in the top 15 for points for sure. I want to say top 10.
Let's just say this. Anders Carlson was not the worst extra point kicker in the NFL this year, everybody. He was ahead of Brett Maher, Michael Bagley, Lucas Haversick, Mason Crosby. He only kicked 7. Eddie Pinero. And Matthew Wright. Okay, he wasn't the worst,
makes inside 20, makes inside 30. His misses came from 40 out. We do want to be upset. I believe there's the extra point. I want to be mad about the extra point. Where's that? 34 for 39 on the Pats. Yeah. That's what I'm upset about. That's got to be better. When your misses in field goal attempts are 40 beyond, and the pat is from 35. Come on. But I love what you're saying there. We have a pretty decent kicker, and he's got an opportunity. I don't think we set the building on fire with that kid yet. I really don't. I agree. I liked that. What do you want to? How do you want to end it? You want to end it with head coaches, or you want to end it with the backup quarterback?
We can end it with head coaches. All right. So I took only two wild card players.
Yeah.
One of them is an old school guy from back in the day. This is why it's a wild card. I took a guy, current guy, and I took a guy from back in the day. So a player called Cody Carlson. He was Warren Moon's backup. Look this dude up. He looks like Woody Harrelson.
Cody Carlson?
Cody Carlson. I think Houston Oilers.
Yeah. Images. It was the Houston Oilers. Who'd you say he looked like?
He looked like Woody Harrelson, in one of his pictures. With the hair. Did you see it? Did you see the one that I'm talking about?
I could definitely see. Yeah. Listeners, y'all got to go out there and look up Cody Carlson. I want his card now, man. I want his card.
Yeah. I think we might be able to get him on the show. I think he's the president at Baylor University.
Yeah.
All right. And obviously, my wild card is Gardner Minshew, man. I love the Chew.
I'm glad you gave him some love, because on my backup quarterback list for 2023-2024, starting at number 15, wild card, Matt Ryan. All right. There's going to be an injury somewhere along the season. And I think Matt Ryan has a Joe Flacco story.
Yeah,
I think Matt Ryan has a Joe Flacco story. So he's a backup sitting on a couch for some team that they don't know needed him yet. Coming in at number 14, Joe Flacco, Cleveland. Coming in at number 13, Taylor Heinicke, Washington. 12, Cooper Rush, Dallas. 11, Mason Rudolph, Pittsburgh. Those are basically your honorable mentions. They had some really good stories.
They did.
They had some good opportunities. I think if you find yourself with them as your backup for next season, I believe that as long as it's not an Aaron Rodgers situation or Deshaun Watson situation, you'll be great. I think you'll be just fine. Coming in at number 10, Drew Lock, Seattle. 9, Tyler Huntley, Baltimore. The thing about Tyler Huntley is that they try to play him like Lamar Jackson, and there's only one Lamar Jackson. And I think that hurts him more than it helps him, but he's a really good kid. He's got a really good head on his shoulders. He plays like a dog. I like him. Number 8, he might be a starter now, but he's the number 8 best backup quarterback. He's not a starter. Never mind. I'm sorry. I was thinking of somebody way different. But Davis Mills, Texans. When C.J. Stroud was hurt, I like what Davis was able to come in and do. I think that had everything to do with the coaching staff. And understanding that they're playing with a backup quarterback, not a starting quarterback, which is something now I'm even questioning myself on my head coach list, but maybe the Baltimore staff should have figured out too. But anywho, number 7, I think, is because he's in a really good spot. And I did just recently get a PSA 10. Sam Darnold, 49ers, number 6 on this list, because New York is a terrible place. Zach Wilson. I think being able to just survive that place mentally and physically, well done, Zach Wilson. Congratulations.
He's making $8 million next year, so.
Yeah, congratulations. Coming in at number 5, he's had many opportunities playing throughout the last few seasons. I've liked it. It was a bummer he got hurt. I would have liked to see what he did in Washington, Jacoby Brissett. I would have really liked to see what he did in Washington. Number 4, Marcus Mariota for Philadelphia. With the right coaching staff, Marcus Mariota is a Swiss Army knife for one or two games. And the dude's a dog. He'll get you the opportunity. I like him as a backup quarterback. That's number 4. Number 3, honestly, one of the magical moments of last season, I think because he's so damn smart, he can continue that, Joshua Dobbs. I loved the Arizona situation. Oh boy, didn't even have the jersey yet.
Got himself a starting quarterback job in Minnesota and then ended up pissing it away at the end of the season. Oh, he got hurt, didn't he? Or did he get benched? I can't remember.
Yeah, a little bit of both. He'll say a little bit of both, which puts him at a wonderful backup quarterback position. He's going to come in.
He's where he's supposed to be.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. And the dude's so smart. He doesn't need football. He plays football to keep his body in shape. I'm pretty sure that's the scenario we're living in. Coming in at number two, your favorite and mine, the Chew, Gardner Minshew for Indiana. I love the guy. I love the story. I loved his vibe. I love the energy. It's just the dude, I'm here to play football, and I look like I did pornos in the 80s. I love the Chew.
He keeps it. He keeps it chill.
Keep being you. Coming in at number one, might be a shocker, but I love him. Maybe the NFL doesn't like him too much. Jameis Winston. The dude is a teammate.
Because he's rapping on
He's just a teammate, bro. He loves you like he loves himself. He's there for you. I mean,
probably the best, worst 40 backup quarterback ever. Yeah. What do you have? 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. The only player to ever do that. But he was always trying to make a play, dude. Always trying to make a play.
So I'm saying, backup for life, play a hashtag, get those millies, and love that New Orleans environment. I do. I like them. We'll springboard right into the head coaches there, because that was backup quarterbacks. All right. So interesting to watch next season. If you need somebody for fantasy, you got a bencher, anybody on that list can be great. Coming in at number 15, Sean McDermott, Buffalo. Coming in at number 14, Todd Bowles, Tampa Bay. Coming in at number 13, I meant to switch a few of these, but whatevs. Coming in at number 13, Mike McDonald, Seattle. Coming in at number 12, Mike Tomlin, Steelers. Coming in at number 11, Sean McVay, LA Rams. Something I do notice about this list right off the bat, that 6 through 10 has coaches that you would think should be in 11 through 15, because there's coaches in 11 through 15 with Super Bowl rings. What are they doing down there? Let's just say, in my opinion, coaching-wise, there was a little bit I took into this. There was the player aspect, the media aspect, the likability, the how you take care of your players, where you finish at the end of the season, how many times you've been there, yada, yada, yada. Coming in at number 10, Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers. This man. Not everybody can be a bride. This dude's a bridesmaid. He's coming in at number 10. Just deal with it. Coming in at number 9, Mike McDaniel, Miami. Coming in at number 8, Kevin Stefanski, Cleveland. Coming in at number 7, Kevin O'Connell, Minnesota. Coming in at number 6, Dan Campbell, the Detroit Lions. 5 through 1. Here we go. Number 5, D'Amico Ryans, Houston. Number 4, welcome back to the NFL, Jim Harbaugh, LA Chargers. Coming in at number 3, John Harbaugh, the Baltimore Ravens. Coming in at number 2, and I don't care who you are, Matt LaFleur, Green Bay Packers. Coming in at number 1, Andy Reid, Kansas City. I think Andy Reid has the best hugs in the NFL. He's obviously going to be number 1, and I like the player and coaching relationship that Matt LaFleur has in Green Bay. This may be biased. I'm okay with that. I like how he takes care of his players. I like how players earn their playing time. I like how Matt LaFleur coaches football in the NFL. So if he has a Super Bowl, he's number one. When he wins the Super Bowl, he'll be number one on my list.
I have all playoff teams on my list.
As it
because
should be.
Because I assume that these are teams that have to have playoff caliber coaches to become, and these are teams that are consistently in the playoffs.
Yeah.
For the most part. So at number 10, we've got Nick Sirianni from the Eagles. It could be a player thing, could be whatever, but he still gets the job done.
I like that.
Number 9, his predecessor, Doug Peterson, Jacksonville Jaguars. Did not quite do the job this year, but I believe that he did it when he was in. Yeah, he did do it when he was in Philadelphia before Nick Sirianni. He did also win a Super Bowl. So yeah, there's that. Number 8, I got Matt LaFleur. The reason he's not higher on the list is I just want to see a little bit more. I want to see another season or two.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I do. It's the fact that he's on the list.
And we got seven. I got Mike McDaniel. He could be even off this list, to be honest with you. But I love, I just like his energy. And number, both of us, I think, had number six, we had Dan Campbell, Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
And that's just because he turned that program around. He turned Detroit around. So you got to give him credit. Number five, I have D'Amico Ryans in at number five as well.
Yeah.
I believe that he's probably one of the smartest coaches out there as far as like getting players to do it. And I got four, Kevin Stefanski. What he did last year with Cleveland is unbelievable.
I agree.
A lot of these are based off of performances of what they did too with what they had. Yeah. Number three, John Harbaugh. Can't go wrong with that. Number two, just because this dude's one of the better, like, mentally preparing for a football game. He couldn't get the job done this year in the Super Bowl, but he's still a really good coach. Kyle Shanahan. And Andy Reid's number one, obviously. Yeah. There is no other. He is the GOAT. Yeah. And I believe when it's all said and done, once he gets a couple more rings, he will be the greatest coach of all time.
His tree is ridiculous. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly. I like you said,
there's so many of them coaches that could have just been, there's a lot of them there. We just have them in different places. Like, it's just I believe this guy's going to break through. Like D'Amico Ryans, like the fact that he went from not being a head coach to being in the top five on both of our lists says a lot. A lot of respect for what we have, for what that guy can do.
I love the guy. I love his energy. I love his demeanor during the game.
Yeah.
I'm here doing a job from start to finish. And then after the job's over, there's the human reaction. And I love it. I love it. You get the Bill Belichick with the Matt LaFleur energy. You really do. I absolutely love it. That's our lists. I loved them. We're coming up on the end. We've got four positions left, bro. We've got four positions left. Center, defensive tackle, outside tackles. Did we already do them?
We did the defensive ends. You could do center. You could do guards, left tackles. We didn't do any offensive linemen. We could do the entire offensive
line. Okay, cool. Yeah, so we'll do the center, the defensive tackle, the outside tackle, and the guards.
And
so
don't
left,
worry,
right, doesn't matter.
Don't worry, Mike. You can still include Kelsey in there just because we're going from 23 to 24. Mm-hmm. But you can put him in there. He can't be in the top 10, but he can be in your top 15.
He can be in your top 15. We'll allow it, bro. We'll allow it. So that'll be exciting.
Because we didn't know he was going to retire. So
yeah, and absolutely. And if there's time, we'll probably let them shoot out their list. But otherwise, if there's big cry for it, we'll pull it out of their teeth. We'll pull their teeth out and we'll get some lists. But otherwise, don't forget, you can find all of our goodies and logos and items for joy at boysinthewoods906.shop. Both of us have been enjoying SoRare.com. Please continue that. We also are interjecting another I Want the Mug episode. Hey, I want the mug. I want the mug. It's too bad we don't have a really cool
you want a jingle?
I want the mug. I want the mug. I want the mug. So don't forget, you got to go to the YouTube page, subscribe, and then comment I want the mug on these episodes that have I want the mug. And every comment on those episodes gets you an entry into this fantastic drawing for that beautiful, beautiful thermos.
If you guys are interested into the scary, the obscure, and the downright scary shit, we're going to be having Rye Codex on tomorrow's episode, and he will be posting it live on Thursday, so you guys can get scared shitless on Thursday with Charles and I. We can't wait to hear the ghost stories.
I can't wait.
I'm excited.
I love it. I have a really bright light in the backyard for when it gets nighttime, so bring on the scary stories.
I think that he's going to tell us some stuff that's going to really shock and awe.
I'm super excited.
Can't wait for it. So
absolutely. But otherwise, hell, thank you guys so much for all your support, your continued likes, loves, reactions. We've got lots more coming up outside of sports also. I'm super excited about everything on our plate. Thank you so much for being you. Patrick, do you have anything more you want to
add? 20 more people. Come on, 400. 20 more. We're at
20 more people. Share, click, like, just share it away. We appreciate it. Even if you're like, I ain't got the time to subscribe, that's chill. But click share real quick.
Share it.
Maybe one of your friends does. You know, who knows? We're all hanging out in basements, chilling together. It's fantastic. Right. So, thank you so much. The world's a much better place with you in it. Smile more.